Well, happy Father's Day, everyone. Man, it is going to be an amazing Sunday this morning. We're going to be in John chapter 11, so you can go ahead and turn your Bibles to John chapter 11. But as you can tell, we are going to be doing some baptisms today. We have 16 people going to be baptized. I know, isn't that awesome? So 5 this service and 11 in the second service. And not only that, we're also going to be doing some baby dedications today. But that's going to be second service only. So maybe do a little of the math there. We have 11 baptisms and a baby dedication second service. That means this service is going to be a little bit shorter than normal. So I know that you guys are going to be heartbroken about that. But maybe I'll just go off script and we will see where the Spirit leads. Maybe we can find ways to fill the time. I don't know. But I thank you for that. I'm pumped for today. All right, so last week, I went to an Eagle Scout pinning ceremony. Have any of you ever been to one of those before? A couple of you have, yeah. I had never been to one before. David Boffman, young man, grew up in our church. He became an Eagle Scout this past week. And it was a very, very cool thing. My favorite part of this ceremony was, well, first off, the scouts ran most of it. The adults had very little to do with it. It was all the young people running it. But about maybe 3/4 of the way through this ceremony, David got to pin mentor pins on 3 guys who had invested in him in his time in scouts and who had been instrumental in helping him make the rank of Eagle, which is the highest rank in the scouts. And so he picked 3 of his either former or current scout leaders who had invested in him over the years. And so he had to give a speech about them and talk about all the things that they had done for him and to thank them. And then he pinned the pin on them. And then afterwards, they got to get up and share some anecdotes, embarrassing stories about him, because some of them had him as a scout when he was like real, real little. He had a guy from his Cub Scout days. He had a guy from his like middle school days. And then a guy who had been his leader, more recently when he was in high school. And so together, they celebrated David's growth throughout the scouts, and it was beautiful. And after the ceremony, I just was struck by it, because like I said, I'd never been to one of these before, and I thought, man, why don't we as a society do more things like this, like celebrate a young man and his accomplishments in a way that was as meaningful as this? And the more I thought about it, I thought, the reason I think that this stood out as so special was the fact that David had stayed in the same scout troop for most of his life. And so he had all of these guys who knew him really, really well. He had leaders who had seen him grow up, and then they came back to celebrate him as he achieved the highest rank that the scouts has to offer. And because they knew him so well, I think it meant more when they gathered to celebrate his accomplishment. Now, my kids have had a similar experience here at Believers Fellowship. We dedicated them when they were babies. Zach was even in the nursery with David Boffman when they were both real little. My kids grew up in the children's ministry. They came to faith here. They were baptized here. Now they're being mentored by youth leaders. And my daughter is even, considering going into ministry because of the influence that Natalie's had on her. There is no replacement for spiritual community. I think faith has become just too individualistic in our society. We look for spiritual self-help books to help us with our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And while our relationship with Jesus is personal, it isn't individualistic. We need a community. We need a spiritual community. And today we're going to celebrate that. In the second service, we're going to start with a young couple. They're new parents, and they are just starting off on this journey of raising children in the Lord. And they are going to dedicate their kids to the Lord. And we, as a spiritual community, are going to dedicate ourselves and commit ourselves to being this community of grace that God can use to share the gospel with these young boys. Everyone has to make a decision for themselves to follow Jesus for himself or herself, but we can be a community that God uses to bring the gospel to those kids. And then after the dedication, or right into it in this service, we're going to spend some time in John 11, like I said, and we're just going to talk about the gospel today. And then at the end, we are going to baptize some beloved brothers and sisters from our church. So today is going to be one of the most meaningful spiritual experiences in the lives of a couple brothers and sisters from our church, and we get to be a part of that. We get to celebrate along with them. So I encourage you, when we get to that part, be joyful and celebrate. Cheer them on. Let's make some noise for it. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to get into John 11 in just a second. But before we do, I'd like to pray for us. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so excited for these men and women with us today who are proclaiming their faith in Jesus in front of all their brothers and sisters here. God, I just ask that this be a glorifying moment for you. It is our confession that Jesus Christ died for sins and rose from the dead, and we are here to celebrate that gospel message today. Father, as we dig into your word today, I just pray that you would speak to us through John 11. Give us hearts that are open to hearing your gospel, hearts that are willing to respond to your call. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so John 11, we're going to be talking about the story of the raising of Lazarus today. We're not going to read the whole thing, but just to catch you up to where we're going to be at in the story. The raising of Lazarus starts with Mary and Martha sending for Jesus because their brother Lazarus is deathly ill. And Jesus hears the news, but he decides to linger where he is for a couple days before heading out to Bethany to see Lazarus. Now, because of the story of the healing of the official's son earlier in John chapter 4, we, by this point in the story, we know that Jesus doesn't have to be in proximity to someone to heal them, right? So when Jesus hears that Lazarus is ill, he could just heal him right where he is, right? So Jesus' decision to stay where he is and not go to Bethany doesn't put Lazarus in any extra danger. Jesus is obviously trying to make a point or communicate or teach something through his decision not to go right away. And he even says so much in verse 4, where he says, Lazarus's illness will not end in death, but in the glory of God. So eventually Jesus heads out to Bethany, and by the time he gets there, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And his sisters are obviously distraught. But he tells them that their brother will rise again. And they're a little bit confused by this. They think that he's talking about the end times and the resurrection of the end times. But then Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he says, okay, take me to Lazarus's tomb. And so that brings us to our passage today. We're in John chapter 11, and we're going to start reading in verse 38. It says, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there's an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And so they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they might believe that you sent me. And when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And the man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. Love this story, okay? Jesus, he comes to Lazarus's tomb and he says, roll away the stone. And, Martha, she doesn't understand quite what's going on. It's just she reminds him. She's like, Jesus, you know, he's been dead a couple days. There's going to be an odor. And, if you roll away that stone, it is not going to be a pretty sight. But Jesus reassures her and he's like, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And so they roll away the stone, and then, and what I think, when I try to picture this story in my mind, imagine, like, this has to be the most chilling moment in all of the Gospel of John, of just seeing Jesus there outside of the tomb and just yelling in, "Lazarus, come out," and then seeing the man who had been dead come out. Now, last week, I shared a couple of stories from the Gospel of John, and I talked about how they illustrated various aspects of faith. And so we looked at John 4, and we saw the story of the healing of the official's son. And I said that, you know, this story is a picture of what it means to have faith, because the official, you know, he walked 16 miles to find Jesus, and he had hoped to bring Jesus back with him to heal his son. And Jesus said to him, go back without me, your son will live. And I said, you know, for us as believers, this is a picture for us that we have to trust Jesus at his word. We don't get to tell Jesus, "Hey, I'd be more comfortable if you came back with me." You know, faith is trusting Jesus at his word and going back home without him. But not only that, but the story of the healing of the man born blind is also a picture of faith. When Jesus puts the mud on the guy's eyes and he says, "Go to the pool of Siloam and wash and you'll see." And it says the man went and he saw. And we talked about how faith, in faith, we follow after Jesus first, and then our eyes are open to what God is doing around us. So those are two stories in John that are pictures to us of our faith. The story of the raising of Lazarus has a similar function too. Jesus says in John chapter 5, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He doesn't come into judgment, but he has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself." And so what happens to Lazarus bodily in John chapter 11 is a picture of what happens to us in our spirit when we hear and believe the gospel. Right? So John and Jesus, or John calls our native condition death. Right? We all, like Lazarus, are dead to God in our natural condition. We're dead in our spirit even when we're walking around. But Jesus says in John chapter 5 that when you believe in him, that something happens inside of you, that you pass from death to life. He says you no longer fall under the judgment of God. Jesus has the power to bring us from death to life. Amen? Amen. All right. And this is illustrated with the story of Lazarus, you know, and Lazarus, you know, his condition, like, he wasn't just kind of sick, right? And it wasn't that, like, well, you know, he made some mistakes in life, but he was generally a good person. No, he was dead. Lazarus was dead. And he didn't become undead by anything that he did, right? Lazarus didn't, you know, clean up his life to come back to life, right? He didn't start going to church more, or, you know, give more money or sin less or any of those things. Lazarus remained dead and unable to do anything for himself until the moment that Jesus commanded him to come from death into life. And when he was commanded to come forward in life, Jesus liberated him from the judgment of God. Amen? Amen. And the same is true for us. Toward the end of our service, in a few minutes, our baptism candidates, some brothers and sisters, are going to come forward to be baptized. And some of them have amazing stories of the things that God has done in their life. And I can't wait to read them. It's going to be an emotional time. And we praise God for these wonderful things. But these wonderful stories are not the reason that they're being baptized. They're being baptized because of what Jesus did. Amen? Amen. All right. Jesus brought them from death to life. And in fact, that's why we baptize people the way that we baptize them. Being immersed in the water is a picture of our death and resurrection with Jesus. When we go down into the water, it's kind of like we're joining Jesus down in the tomb. We are buried together with him. And then when we come out of the water, it's an illustration to what Jesus has already done in our spirit, that he has brought us from spiritual death to spiritual life, and an image of what he will do with our bodies in the future. Since we have died and been raised with Jesus in faith, then when we die in body, we have hope that we will also be resurrected in body. We will be raised with Christ. Amen? Amen. All right. So now after this profound illustration of the power of the cross, there's a moment in the Gospel of John where one of the characters makes this profound statement. And it's kind of a funny statement because the person who makes it isn't even a believer. The high priest says something about Jesus, but he doesn't really understand how profound his statement is. So we're going to skip down to verse 47, just a couple verses later. It says, so the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and they said, what are we going to do? This man performs many signs. And if we let him go on like this, everyone's going to believe in him. And the Romans will come and they'll take both our place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it's better for you that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish. Now, John, he loves irony, right? Throughout the Gospel of John, all the characters in the story, they say things and they don't realize how profound the statements are that they're making. And we have an example of this in John 11:49. Caiaphas, the high priest, he's worried that too many people are going to start following after Jesus. And if word gets back to Rome, that Rome is going to send their army in to try to squelch this movement. And in so, there's in the process, that there's going to be massive bloodshed. And so he wants to prevent that. He says, well, this is what we got to do. We have to kill Jesus before this movement gets too strong. And he says, don't you know that it's better that one man die than that the nation perish? And what he doesn't realize is that Jesus really will die for the nation, and not just the nation of Israel, but for the whole world. Early in the gospel, John the Baptist calls Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And this language echoes that of Isaiah, who hundreds of years earlier wrote, all we like sheep who have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So this image that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, that explains the theology behind the gospel. Right? So the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for sins and rose from the dead. Amen? Amen. All right. But what does that mean? Right? What is it? What do we mean when we say Jesus Christ died for sins? Well, Isaiah 53:6 tells us that the Lord has laid on Jesus our iniquity. Right? You see, you and I, we have a sin problem. Right? We've sinned against God. And that means that we are guilty of transgressing God's laws and therefore worthy of righteous judgment. It also means that we are mortally sick and we are careening towards our death. We're guilty and we're dying. So why did Jesus die? Well, on the cross, Jesus suffered the justice of God, even though he himself had committed no iniquity. He bore the punishment that we deserved. And then further, he took on the death, he took our death upon himself, even though he had no sin. He died the death that was ours to die. And that's why we say, he died for us. He died in our place. Amen? All right. And baptism reminds us of that, right? When we go down in the water, we're reminded that Jesus died for us. And when we come out of the water, we are reminded that Jesus defeated sin and death through his resurrection, and that because of that, we have hope. Amen? Amen. All right, so I have a challenge for all of you today who have already been baptized. And you're not being baptized today. The challenge is I want you to remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. Because I don't have to tell you, baptism does not perfect you. I wish it did, doesn't. Baptism doesn't perfect you. Baptism is a sign of what is true of you by faith now and will be true of you one day in glory. You see, you are not defined by your mistakes. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And you are not defined by your shortcomings, because Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And you are not defined by what you've done, what you've not done, or what has been done to you, because Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And when God looks at you, he doesn't see you as the person you were. And he doesn't see you even as the person that you are today. He sees the person who Jesus is and the person that you are right now through faith and the person that you will be someday in glory. Amen? All right. So we are going to be baptizing some people now. So if you are being baptized today, it is time. Let's line up over on this side against the wall. Yeah, I like that. I heard a whoop. Let's get a, yeah. Band, this is kind of your cue as well. All right. So we're going to baptize people. Let's make sure we celebrate them. We have 5 in this service, 11 in the second service. And then when we are finished, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Now, one last thing. You might see these folks getting baptized today, and you might be inspired. And you might think, man, this is amazing. I didn't come here this morning think I was going to be baptized, but I am. Today is the day. If that's you, let's go. All right, let's do it. So if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead, and you want to commit to following him, and you want everyone in this room to know that you believe, and you've never been baptized before, then I want you to do is talk to Johnny. Johnny, wave your hand back there. He is back there. He will talk to you about baptism and faith, and we'll baptize you today. All right, sound good? All right, it sounds good to me. All right, first up, we have my friend Marcy Wright. Woo! All right, so Marcy told me a while back that she wanted to wait until she was 80 before she's baptized. She's been a follower of Jesus a while, but she said, I want to wait until I turn 80, and then I'm going to be baptized. And I said, do you know what the pirate said when he turned 80? And she looked at me and she's like, what? And I said, I'm 80. Right? It's Father's Day. I am entitled to one dad joke in this sermon. All right. All right. No, honestly, Marcy laughed so hard when I said that. I was like, I got to tell that joke on the day she's baptized. But she actually just turned 79 on Wednesday. We convinced her, don't wait till you're 80. Woo! All right, so Marcy was raised in a Christian home, and she says she was baptized as a little girl before she understood what it meant. And so she wants to be baptized as a believer, testifying that she is a follower of Jesus. Marcy follows Jesus and is committed in an intimate way, striving to be more like him every day. And she is here today with her friends Dick Teodoro and Jeremiah Hinton. We also promised Marcy that she could be the first one baptized in the new baptism. All right, next we have Erica Conway. Come on, Erica. Woo! Erica, I love what you wrote, so I'm going to read it. She says, you know, she's always been afraid of Jesus' love, believing that she didn't deserve it and that it wasn't meant for someone like her. But she attended a church service with her boyfriend who needed some moral support. And the service was about being loved and good enough no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done or what has happened to us. And after a very good but tumultuous year, she felt like a light bulb had gone off, or that she was wearing glasses for the first time, and she could see all the ways that Jesus was with her following her before she could even see and follow him. Erica says that to be a Christian is to let go of any semblance of control and to learn to put your trust in God, to follow Jesus and grow in her capacity for love and kindness. She says for her personally, it has meant opening herself up to God's light and allowing him to change her. And it's meant learning to love herself as God loves her. She has a verse for us today, Psalm 31:24, which is, "Be strong, let your heart be courageous, all you have put your hope in the Lord." And she's here today with her boyfriend TJ. Next, we have Tara Bates. Woo! Tara says, being a Christian means increasing her love for Jesus, growing in her relationship with him. She says she strives to spend more time with him daily and to become more like him. Tara says she's always felt the Lord's presence with her, and she wants to be baptized to publicly declare her love for the Lord and to praise him for all that he's done in her life. And I like that. I don't think that we always think about baptism like that. That baptism is an act of worship. I love that she said that, because it is. It is. And she's here with her husband, Daniel, and being baptized by Dick and John here. Oh, Daniel's there in the back with the camera. All right. I love Kyle. If you don't know Kyle, you need to come up and introduce yourself to him after the service. You'll be glad you did. Kyle says a battle with cancer got him connected to an amazing, some family members who are amazing Christians who invited him to walk with Jesus. He says, well, he wrote this morning. I'm going to read this if I can. All right. Kyle says, "I'm here today because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I began my walk with Jesus and I'm committed to my faith. I love every second of it. God has shown me his amazing mercy and grace and I refuse to take it for granted. Without Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, I know I wouldn't have the strength and courage I do today to stay held high, and I will forever be grateful. All glory and praise belong to him, and I'm just a follower in his flock, blessed to receive a new life in his name." And that's from Philippians 4:13. And he's here with Mark and Shireen. Where are they at? Oh, they're sitting down, but they got the camera. Okay. All right. And he's being baptized by Dick and John. Woo! Finally, we got Lars Plou. Woo! All right, Lars says, "To be a Christian is to accept Jesus into your heart and to believe that he died on the cross for our sins." Lars's parents and grandparents have taught him about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and he made the choice to follow him. And he wants to be baptized to show others that he believes. He's here with his dad, and he's here with his grandpa. First up, we've got Caroline Carpenter. Okay. Woo! I like that. We're cheering already. Woo! All right. All right. Caroline says she wants to be baptized as a testament that her Redeemer lives. And I wish you could see what she handwrote, because it was like in all caps with underlines under it. Was great. She says, "Jesus Christ saved my life, and that's something that I will shout from the rooftops until I die. She says she wants to declare her faith so that others might know God's reckless love. Caroline grew up in the church, and so she's always been around Christians, but she said in middle school she went through some rough seasons, but Christ saved her. He loved her when she didn't even love herself, and he held her when she couldn't stand on her own. And she's here being baptized by her dad. You're next. Next, we have Ryan McGrady. Ryan says, to be a Christian means to believe the gospel that Jesus Christ died for our sins and was resurrected, paying for our sins and allowing us to live eternally in heaven. Ryan grew up in a Christian family. He gave his heart to Christ when he was 10 years old at a youth group function. And like all of us, Ryan's been through many highs and lows in his life, but he's seen God work through it all. God has always provided beyond all measure. Ryan says that despite his long-standing Christian faith, he struggled at times with feeling like he wasn't doing enough or he wasn't good enough. And reflection on his life experience and ministering to others has changed his perspective on all this. So today, he wants to publicly proclaim his love for Christ, and he's here being baptized by his brother Kevin and by John Plow. Next, we have Harper McGrady. Harper says that to be a Christian means to believe that Jesus came to earth and that he died on the cross for our sins. She says that this year in the fifth grade room, she really began to understand who Jesus is and what it means to follow him. She accepted Jesus into her heart with Mrs. Kempston at the fifth grade camp. Now she wants to be baptized because she's excited to share with everyone that she has given her life to Jesus. And she's here with her dad. All right, next we have Audrey Algitz. All right, Audrey says that a Christian is someone who's accepted Jesus into her heart. She says we need Jesus to lean on because we can't do it ourselves. Amen to that. We need Jesus to take our sins because we can't take them away ourselves. Audrey was 5 or 6 when she first wanted to ask Jesus into her heart. Her parents helped her know her need for Jesus, and so they prayed and she asked Jesus into her heart. She wants to be baptized because she wants people to know that she's on God's team and that she wants to follow Jesus for the rest of her life, and she wants people to know that she's a Christian. And she's here with her dad and her friend John with an H. Ezekiel Gillespie. All right, Ezekiel says that to be a Christian is to believe that Jesus Christ died for sins and 3 days later rose again. Ezekiel's mom and dad taught him about Jesus, and then he asked Jesus into his heart. And he wants to be baptized to obey Jesus and to show others that he is a follower. And he's here today with his dad. Woo! Next, we have his brother Elias. Elias says, that to be a Christian means to follow Jesus and to believe that he died on the cross for us and rose from the dead. Elias became a Christian when his mom shared the gospel with him, and he wants to be baptized to show everyone that he believes. He's here with his dad. Langley Wade. Woo! All right, Langley says that to be a Christian is to believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again to save us from sin. Langley read and studied her Bible when she felt ready to accept Jesus into her heart. Her mom and dad prayed with her and helped her to ask him into her heart. Langley wants to be baptized to show others that she believes Jesus died on the cross for her sins and rose again to save us. She's here with her parents. To be a Christian is to accept that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that he rose again 3 days later. Alexis grew up in church, but she says it wasn't until recently that she started taking her relationship with him seriously. That summer camp, after talking to Natalie, she decided to dedicate her life to God. And now she wants to publicly show her dedication with baptism. She knows she won't be perfect, but she belongs to Jesus, and she's going to continue to grow in her relationship with him. She's being baptized by her mom and Natalie. All right, Caitlin. Next, we have Caitlin. All right, Caitlin says to be a Christian means to accept Jesus as our Savior and to believe that he died to free us from our sins so that we can live with him forever. Caitlin has always gone to church, but it wasn't until the beginning of sixth grade when she went to summer camp with the student ministry that she started to feel the peace and love of the Holy Spirit for the first time. Caitlin wants to be baptized to show others her faith and her heart and to let others know how much she loves God. And she's being baptized by her sister Paige. Next we have Cece Bearson. All right, Cece says to be a Christian means believing that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again. Because Cece believes this, she reads her Bible, she worships, she prays, and she follows God's commands. She says being a Christian also means showing love and kindness to those around her. Cece has grown up in a Christian home, but she's connected to God a lot more in the middle school youth group. And she wants to be baptized to show everyone that she believes and that she trusts in God. And she's here with her parents. Pepper. All right. Pepper says that to be a Christian is to have faith in God. And she became a Christian when she was very young. She was listening to a Bible study when it suddenly hit her that God was real. And she wants to be baptized to proclaim her faith in Jesus to the whole congregation. And she's here with her dad and with John. Thank you. All right, can we get one more round of applause for everyone who was baptized? Woo! All right. Well, this is going to bring us to our time of response. We're going to remember Jesus and celebrate the Lord's Supper. So we're going to have stations all around the room. You're free to go whichever one you'd like at your own timing. So if you want to hang out where you are and pray for a little bit, spend some time with God before you go forward, you got plenty of time to do that. But while we sing and while we remember Jesus, I'd love to pray for you. I'm going to be standing back there in that corner. Kathy is going to be back there, she's already there, by the offering box. And Marissa from the women's prayer team is going to be back there by that offering box, and they would love to pray for you as well. Maybe you're here today, and this is your first time ever in church, and you're like, I have no idea what I just witnessed, but I want to know more about Jesus. I'd love to tell you about him. So if you come, I'll tell you all about Jesus. I'd love to do that. But if there's anything else going on in your life, big or small, I'd love to pray for those things as well. There is nothing better than Jesus. Amen? Amen. All right. He turns mourning to dancing. He gives beauty from ashes. He turns shame into glory. And praise God for these changed lives here today. Would you stand with me as we join Jesus at the table? The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Would you pray with me? Father, we just celebrate your grace and your mercy, and we celebrate the work of Jesus. We thank you for these brothers and sisters who came forward to publicly proclaim their faith. Father, we just thank you for never giving up on us, for pursuing us, for chasing us down, and dragging us sometimes, kicking and screaming back to yourself. It is our confession that Jesus has died for sins and risen from the dead, and we continue to worship him now. In Jesus' name, amen.